The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I thought green energy was supposed to be safe and the way to go. If you were caught in the jackpot, the traffic jackpot today west of downtown, you may be chagrined to find out that the reason why you could not get off of 670 at Grandview Avenue and at other exits was because there was a semi-trailer full of lithium-ion batteries that was smoking, and they were afraid it was going to explode. Or burn very rapidly. Yes, either one of those sounds bad. And that is where we begin a Thursday edition, excuse me, of the Bruce Hooley Show. Glad to have you along. At this hour, at this very hour, there is a press conference going on from the family of Donovan Lewis. Donovan Lewis, Donovan Lewis, Donovan Lewis. Oh, you remember Donovan Lewis? Donovan Lewis was the guy who was wanted on multiple warrants, including a felony possession of a gun. For, I believe, slugging, I get these confused. Was it both his mom and his girlfriend? Was there a pregnancy involved there somewhere? Anyway, Donovan Lewis was served a warrant in the wee hours of the morning by Columbus police, who banged on his door for a prolonged period of time, more than 10 minutes, released a police dog into his apartment, barking, making all kinds of noise and racket. Two other guys were in the apartment. They couldn't tell, wouldn't tell, I should say wouldn't tell, the police whether Donovan Lewis was in his bedroom or not. Donovan never came out of his bedroom, never made a sound. The police had no idea he was in there or not. They threatened to release the dog into the bedroom, and when the door finally creaked open slightly, without the lights being on, Donovan Lewis raised up out of bed with something in his right hand. An officer fired, and he was tragically killed. His family... I mean, they're looking at the history of the city of Columbus, paying off the families of people who died in police shootings before there were verdicts rendered in court, and they're just following the script, right? They're suing the city, trying to get money, now holding a press conference, and now about to announce that they are filing a lawsuit against the Columbus Division of Police. Police Chief Elaine Bryant, as if she has anything to do with cops doing actual police work, but she's at the head of this organization, so that's why her name's on the lawsuit. The purpose of the lawsuit that will be filed in the U.S. District Court in the Southern District is to address the CPD's culture of excessive force, particularly against people of color, that has happened for decades. That's according to the statement announcing the lawsuit. They say that this goes back to 1998. And that Donovan Lewis is only the latest example of all this. So, of course, Donovan Lewis grifter attorney Rex Elliott is going to be at this press conference, along with representatives of Cooper, Elliott, Wright, and Schulte. That is the law firm. Interesting how headlines coalesce, is it not? Yesterday, in advance of this lawsuit being announced, Mayor Andrew Ginther and his violence prevention team held their one-year-in-review look-back on the money that they spent on summer recreation programs and the like to end youth violence in the city of Columbus. Like I said, it's interesting how the headlines coalesce, is it not? Now, they trumpeted the fact that we have had a 50% reduction in homicides and violent crime in the city. Those are the mayor's words. How unfortunate that five of the 22 murders this year are teenagers, including Sunday, a 12-year-old boy That murder is unsolved as of this moment. So again, unfortunate coalescing of the headlines. We're going to hold a meeting to look back at what a great job we did spending almost $21 million to reduce violent crime among our youth in the city. And we have five teenagers who have lost their life. Those numbers don't include, by the way. Say, wait a minute, didn't you start your show earlier this week with a look back, a tie together, a commonality between three criminal stories involving criminals, where there were, in three stories, four murder victims. Was it four or five? Four. All of them under 21. Yes, good memory. Excellent. Casey Goodson, who did not comply with police orders, ended up dead because of it. Takaya Young, stealing liquor from a Kroger, didn't comply with police orders, got shot when she tried to run over Blendon Township police. And then two teenagers who were murdered, one of whom was on one side of a drug deal, one of whom was on the other side of the drug deal, and a 19-year-old is the shooter, who's going away for two counts, which makes no sense, of involuntary manslaughter. One might be involuntary. The other one, where he shot the guy through the back seat of the car and then got out, went around to the back of the car when the guy in the driver's seat started shooting at him. That one, how's that involuntary? Like, you shoot a guy while he's sitting in the front of a car waiting to do a drug deal with you, and then you get out of the car and you fire again. This all points out the impotency of our legal system here in Columbus. So I look at this case that Donovan Lewis's family is filing, and while I think it's ridiculous because Donovan Lewis was definitely a justified shoot, and they haven't prosecuted the police officer yet, but they'll get to it, and they'll probably do it a second time if there's a hung jury, like there was in the case of Jason Mead, and we, yes, have a second trial date for Jason Mead because, of course, the cops are always wrong and the criminals are always right. And we've got a 12-year-old boy who's dead and nobody knows who shot him. And yet Andrew Ginther's holding a victory lap for the $21 million that he spent last year on violence prevention programs. How many kids took part in the mayor's trumpeted anti-violence program that cost the city $20.8 million? 1,000 kids. Sounds like a lot of kids. It is a lot of kids. What does that average out to per kid? $20,800. So the city spent $20,800 per kid on summer basketball, kickball, volleyball, who knows what. I was going to say darts, but no, those have things that could be fashioned into weapons, so they probably didn't have darts. This is just ridiculous. Again, I always say this, and until I'm proven otherwise, and I never will be because I'm right, these are poverty issues. These are lack of parenting issues. It's interesting. I had a breakfast yesterday with a gentleman who is very successful in his profession, was talking about the joy of being a grandfather, about how his three kids had all graduated from high school, living lives of faith. You could just see the contentment on this gentleman's face, and I reflected on my three daughters and how blessed and pleased I am with how their lives are turning out. And a lot of the people on the left would look at this and would say, well, sure, you guys are, you know, middle-aged white men. You've got every break in the world. And you know what? Both he and I recognize that we had definite advantages. Not because we're white, because we had loving parents who stayed together, raised us with expectations, tough love, discipline, structure, and then we learned that from them, and we parented our children along that same line, and our children turned out great. Now, are there kids who are parented in exactly the same way and things go bad? Of course. There are no guarantees. Children have free will. They're going to do what they want to do. But in the case of these youngsters who I talked about, the kids in the drug deal, 21-year-old Takaya Young, 21-year-old Casey Goodson, and then this lawsuit, and we've got multiple lawsuits, right, against the cops because we raise our kids in the inner city, whether they're white or black. It's not a black thing. It's an inner city thing. It's a poverty thing. It's a culture thing to distrust police, to distrust authority, to rebel against authority. You don't have a mom and a dad at home. They don't stay together. You've got stepsister this, and I'm raised by my that. You know, it's just a mystery. Like, you interview a lot of the athletes at Ohio State, you're pretty stunned when you find out they came from a conventional home with two parents. Pretty surprising a lot of times. And then we wonder, like, why do things go south? Why do we have a society that is in disarray? Why do we have this dysfunction? Why do we have this pain? Why do we have this crime? Well, it's not a mystery. It's really not a mystery. It's a mystery to the left because they don't want to acknowledge that the creator of life, yes, that's a life in the womb, creates every life with a unique and designed purpose for that life. It's not a creator that makes mistakes and, oops, I meant to create a boy and I created a girl in a boy's body. No. But until we get, as a culture at large, and we had this in the 40s and 50s and even into the 60s, and then we started to go sexual revolution, this, that, and the other. We started to get away from the divine plan of God. You know, you see these problems abound. And like the principle of sowing and reaping, you get more than you sow, later than you sow, and what you sow. Dysfunction. So I don't know how you help people who don't want to be helped, don't want to listen to solutions, don't want to try and employ solutions. And I get it. Religious faith is a topic that freaks a lot of people out. And they don't feel like, I can't impose it on other people. Well, you're not trying to impose it on other people. What you're trying to do, hopefully, if you're living out the Great Commission, is you're trying to expose it to other people. And then when you're struck with life circumstances that are difficult, then you're reflecting peace amid those circumstances that hopefully draws others to you. Now, it would be great if we had leaders at the highest levels of our society, people in positions of influence, who led people, who funneled people, who directed people toward real life solutions to their problems. And I've said before, like the perspective I gained from going through surgery to take out my brain tumor, as much as we talk about politics, the solutions are not political solutions. You know, they are spiritual solutions, and namely evangelical, gospel-centered solutions. A lot of people don't want to hear that. No, your imaginary God. Okay, whatever. But I've had life circumstances, and if you're a person of faith, you've had life circumstances where other people have probably said to you, how do you handle that? How did you handle that? How did you deal with that? It's a mystery to them. It's not a mystery to you because it is real to you. But as I said, we don't have people in positions of influence who lead us correctly. We've got a president who says he's a devout Catholic. Laughable. It's a joke. Not a devout Catholic. Is it the position of the Catholic Church you can abort a baby anytime you want to at any point in its time in the mother's womb up until point of delivery? Of course not. Is it the position of the Catholic Church that, you know, you can be born in the wrong body and that you should have your body mutilated by sexual reassignment surgery? Of course not. It's not the position of the Catholic Church. It's Joe Biden's position. And then you have, and this is the saddest part of that, is you have a Catholic bishop in Washington, D.C., who sees this so often, this I pick what I want and I reject what I don't want out of the Word of God, that the Catholic bishop that leads Washington, D.C. has a term for it. They see it so often, they've termed it cafeteria Catholic. You know, go through, I'll have some of this, I'll have an extra helping of grace and forgiveness, please. Wait, preservation of human life? No, no thanks. I'll pass on that. Telling the truth? No thanks. Not today. I got a political campaign to run, okay? So we don't have it at the top levels of government. We don't have it in our court systems. We get this knucklehead Michael Holbrook judge, a short timer, will never have to run for re-election again. He's going to go up to age 70, live a good life. One guy imposes his own woke view on a law duly enacted by the Ohio General Assembly to protect kids from transgender treatments, which is medical malpractice, and sexual mutilation surgeries. One guy. And it's not just a Columbus problem. I found this story out of Indianapolis. Not that far from us, right? Columbus, Indianapolis used to be lumped together until Indy figured out like how to grow and become like a city that actually attracted like major, major industry and major, major sports and all those kinds of things and big events. Here's a story out of Indianapolis. A mom, tell me, is this that dissimilar of a story to the story involving the Amber Alert here a few weeks ago, where poor little Darnell Taylor, 5 years old, was smothered to death, apparently, by his mom, adoptive mom, his mom nonetheless, Pammy May. She's on trial, or will be soon, for that. Pammy May, she might want to pay attention to this mom's defense. This mom smothered her child to death, 2 years old. She's in court, charged with the murder, and she's found not guilty. Now, she was high on meth at the time she did it, but she's not going to pay any price for it. Listen to the news report. You talk about being ill-served by our leaders, by our judicial system. Here's Exhibit A today.
We ruled within the last hour that Daisha Lacey did not commit a criminal act of neglect that resulted in her two-month-old baby's death.
She smothered
her. Lacey allegedly admitted in a police interview that she smothered her child while she was high on meth and tired. She allegedly put a pillow on the baby's face to make her stop crying. Mm. Lacey's other daughter, who was only three at the time, testified that she saw her mom put a pillow on her baby's face.
Eyewitness.
But there was no medical or physical evidence presented at trial to show that the baby was smothered or that she died from suffocation.
Was Gary Tyak on this case?
That the charges were not appropriate in this case.
Listen to the judge's words.
Court accordingly enters judgment of not guilty, reluctantly.
Apparently not.
I do hope that you will take the opportunity to get the counseling that you need, to get the counseling for the children that you need, that you learn from this behavior, and hopefully the rest of the community learns from this behavior, that you cannot go out and party on the weekend and be with children.
Now, why would she learn that? Can somebody explain to me why she would learn that? I hope you learn from this and the rest of the community learn from this that you can't go out and party on the weekend. Is she going to jail? No, she's not. Now, if she were in jail for like the next 25 years or the rest of her life, you know what? Then it might dawn on her. Oh, I can't go out and get high on meth on the weekend and smother my two-year-old baby to death. I hope you learn this. I also love when the judge says to her, I hope you take the opportunity to get counseling. Am I wrong? Would he not have the authority to mandate counseling? Like maybe his hands are tied because they filed the wrong charge or the prosecution in the case was inept. Like I said, was Gary Tyak on this case? I hope you get the opportunity to undergo counseling. What are the odds a girl who goes out and gets high on the weekend on meth is gonna and then gets away with murdering her two-year-old while her three-year-old daughter watched is gonna say, "Woo! I dodged a big one there. I better go out and get counseling." Where's she supposed to get the money for counseling, by the way, Judge? How about you mandate that? What are you wearing that robe for? What's your job, dude? That's the problem. People who have the jobs that we need them to do aren't doing them.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.